We're joined by a Yahoo Sports columnist. He's also a New York Times best-selling author. He is the co-host of the Wetzel to 40 podcast. Dan Wetzel is everywhere, and he joins us once again. Dan, good to have you back. How are you?
Hey, Jim. How are you?
Good, good. Dan, how about you? How are things?
Doing great.
Good. Dan, you wrote what I thought was a great piece for Yahoo yesterday about O.J. Simpson. At 1 p.m. Eastern on Thursday, Simpson's parole hearing is going to be televised. How do you think that broadcast is going to look and feel?
It's going to be like the 90s all over again, Jim. I think the whole country is going to stop and watch this thing. Unusual move by the state of Nevada. They are going to allow a pool feed to go out and you can and show this thing live. Now, generally, not a lot of interest in parole hearings, but they're going to have the parole board up at in a meeting room in Carson City. They're going to have OJ at his prison in Lovelock, and he'll be by video. And this thing will go out live to whoever wants to broadcast it, which I assume will be pretty much everybody.
Dan Wetzel joining us. If things being what they are, Dan, and this being in Nevada, among other things, the odds are out already, and I'm looking at this. O.J. Simpson granted parole in 2017. You can have that at minus 475. So is there any reason to think that he's not going to be granted parole this time?
Well, his disciplinary record is not publicly available, so we don't know for sure. But there's obviously a lot of confidence in the Simpson camp. And what this is it's not like when Red had to go in on Shawshank and plead his case.
Right.
Although OJ will be able to address the parole board. Mostly this is like a worksheet, and you get a certain number of points for whatever's gone down. So if you've had a disciplinary issue in the last 2 years, that's 1 point. If you've done this, there's a point. And it's pretty much just a checklist, and it's arbitrary. And if he gets, you know, a low enough score, basically 0 to 5, he's automatically going to get out, almost automatically. If it's like 6 to 11, he's probably getting out. Even if it's 12 or over, he's got a chance. The Simpson camp is very confident, and obviously they know his disciplinary record, that they're gonna be fine. And so 2 years ago, I think it was 2 years ago or 3 years ago, he has a number of charges here in this case. And one of them, he was up for parole on that conviction, and he earned the parole then. So now these are the rest of the convictions he's up for. And so the presumption is, unless he all of a sudden started getting in a lot of trouble in the last 2 years, which we have no indication, he's going to get the parole again. This really isn't a judgment call, although he can answer questions and make a statement to the – actually, I think he can just make a statement to the parole board.
Dan Wetzel is a columnist for Yahoo Sports, also a New York Times best-selling author. So, Dan, if in fact parole is approved, he would not be released until October 1st. But once that happens, then what happens? For instance, do you think this guy's just going to go away and disappear, or do you think there's going to be a whole round of interviews and maybe something even more than that?
I think that's the real question. I think what you'll see is there's going to be blanket coverage tomorrow, and then on October 1st at 12:01, there will be helicopters flying over the Lovelock prison. There will be a huge throng of media trying to trail however he comes out. Presumably somebody picks him up. You know, they don't just give him $200 and his blue jeans back and a train ticket. Someone's going to pick him up, and it's going to be a huge frenzy. What happens then, you know? And I don't know. Is he going to get a reality TV show? Is he going to get a book deal? Is he going to sit down for some, you know, huge interview where he gets paid? He's remained very quiet, has had opportunity throughout his last 9 years in prison in Nevada to do interviews. He has chosen not to. Will he do autograph signings? I don't know. Or does he just, at 70 years old, go play golf with his friends, which I think he's going to play golf no matter what, hang out with his kids, grandkids and things like that, and just try to live a quiet life the rest of the way? That's really the question. I don't know. I kind of feel like America will automatically go to the worst of us, and it'll probably be a big frenzy and reality shows and all of that.
I tend to see it that way too, Dan. And in fact, aside from this being who we are and what we do, I mean, it has been 23 years since he was charged with the murders of Nicole Brown and Ron Goldman, meaning that there are plenty of players in the NFL right now who were born after all of that went down. So why do you think this particular story still has a hold on people the way it does?
You know, major true crime stories, particularly involving celebrities, almost never go out. You know, I mentioned in the thing, you can go to Chicago and take an Al Capone day drinking bus tour to bars and speakeasies that he owned. You can stay at the house that Lizzie Borden was accused of killing her mother and her father. It's a bed and breakfast now in Massachusetts. You can go to Jesse James's, birth home or boyhood home. I mean, things like that. So when you have a crime as big as OJ's was, I don't know that the interest in it will ever go away at some level. But this is certainly what I think is kind of going to be interesting for people and how they deal with it, is at this point, OJ's more infamous and in some ways maybe more popular than he ever was, because there's a lot of people. You mentioned 23 years. I mean, unless you were like 10, 12 years old, you probably don't even remember it. And so anyone under 35, this guy's just sort of like this legendary outlaw, and he's got a lot of fame from the ESPN thing and the show they did off of Jeffrey Toobin's book, and there's going to be this whole bit. I don't know whether he's celebrated. I don't know what's going to happen. But it's not unusual for America to embrace the criminal and go on that, you know, and really celebrate it. So I think we're a little bit in uncharted waters, but I'm certainly not expecting it to just be ho-hum, OJ's out, whatever happened to him.
Definitely not. We'll see more of that coming up this week. Dan Wetzel joining us. He's the co-host of the Wetzel of 40 podcast as well. Dan, before you go, let me get you to shift gears if you don't mind. You were in Toronto last week for one of the Mayweather-McGregor publicity tour events. How would you describe that experience?
You know, the Toronto one was really festive, is how I would describe it. It's basically late afternoon. It's rain. It's a light rain. And like 12,000 people show up at this, you know, at this amphitheater. It's like a concert venue or something on the lake in Toronto. And there's all these guys drinking beers and hanging out, and they Drake shows up and they play the whole thing, and the guys kind of perform. I think it was everything they wanted that world tour. I think it got increasingly ugly as it went on. Not all of it was certainly positive, but it was like something that I've never seen before, where you could have a world tour for a fight or almost anything and get that big of a crowd. I don't think, you know, 2 weeks before the Super Bowl, you could have put Matt Ryan and Tom Brady and flown them around the world and gotten 10, 15,000 people to show up at stadiums just to hear them talk. It's almost like nothing else that we've really seen. And I think they accomplished their goal in that I don't know a whole lot of people who didn't at least hear about the promotional tour and thus talk about the fight 6 weeks ahead of time. And talking to the promoters, one of their concerns is when you're going to charge $100 to watch this fight, you need people to plan to watch the fight. You need people to say, I'm going to have the guys over, come over my house and watch it. Everyone kick in $10, $20. You can't count on people just sitting there at their house the last minute saying, yeah, I'm going to drop $100 on this because it's a lot. So they needed to get that hype out where July 26th, I think it is, or August 26th or 25th, whatever it is, you know, you're circling that in the calendar and saying, hey, that's a night everyone's coming over our house, or we're going over this place. And so I think they really accomplished that goal. Mayweather's an incredible promoter. McGregor is his superior in that manner.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And McGregor, he breaks out a lot of material in Toronto, making fun of Mayweather's clothes, his financial situation, saying, quote, you can't read. And to tie it back to the previous topic, he slipped in a joke about Kardashian. What do you make of Conor McGregor's approach?
Well, I think McGregor's, you know, he's going to go for whatever cheap laughs he can find and all of that. I do think there is a second tier approach to that, in that he's trying to get Mayweather upset and off his game. And the biggest victory Conor McGregor had in the UFC was when he beat Jose Aldo, 18 months ago. And at that time, Jose Aldo had not lost a fight in mixed martial arts in 10 years. He's considered the pound-for-pound champ. To this day, he's probably the superior jiu-jitsu wrestler, a lot of things over McGregor. And a lot of us thought this is going to be the big challenge for McGregor. He's more of just a stand-up puncher. How does he handle Jose Aldo? He ridiculed Jose Aldo for months leading into this fight, stole his belt a couple times, made all sorts of inappropriate comments, just yap, 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 yap. And Aldo got so upset when the fight started, instead of sitting back and letting the fight come to him, which would have been a better game plan, he charged McGregor to try to knock him out one punch. He connected and cut him, but he also kind of walked right into McGregor's left hand. He hit him, knocked him out one punch. Fight was over in 13 seconds. It's a tremendous strategy by McGregor. The trash talk won. I think he's trying the same thing with Mayweather. My opinion, it may bother Mayweather a little, but Mayweather's far too intelligent to fall for that. He's going to keep his poise. And when I asked him after the fight about it, so it's all about composure. It's all about game plan. Mayweather's been around the block, obviously, more than just about anybody. And I don't think that that strategy is going to work, but I do think it's the right strategy to attempt to get Mayweather so angry that he says, you know, I'm going to try to knock the guy's block off. Because if they just box, Mayweather's going to probably win this fight. If they get into a brawl, now McGregor's got a real chance.
Yeah, to me, Mayweather's way too smart for that. And I think, Dan, even on some level, Mayweather has got to see McGregor doing his best to not only get under his skin and in his head, but he's trying to sell a fight, which means more money to Floyd Mayweather. So even he has to respect that. One last thought before you go, and this is critical. You were not only regarded as one of America's greatest sports writers, Dan, but you're also one of America's leading Bush Light enthusiasts. It's a very controversial stance. Lay it out for me. Why are you such a staunch advocate for Bush Light?
I like to just say, I have no sponsorship deal here.
Right.
I should, but I have no sponsorship deal. So this is a true blessing. Look, you get Bush Light, you got to get it really, really cold. Like a warm Bush Light is terrible. I'm gonna say that. Even a lukewarm. You get that thing in ice, some ice water, let it sit. You can drink a whole bunch of them. You got to drink more than one. You got to buckle in and go. And you can drink a whole bunch of them, and you wake up the next day, you hardly even know it. Tastes good, refreshing, and it's like an anti-hangover because I think it's mostly water.
All right, so why Bush Light over Natty?
The Brooklyn hipsters hate me for this, but I'm not backing down.
All right, so why Bush Light over Natty Light or Coors Light or any other light?
Well, they're all good, but you know that's just my choice.
Dan Wetzel,
cool, yeah. Little mountains on the can. Sometimes they got the NASCAR theme, you know.
It's who you are. It's what you do. It's what you represent. It's all good.
I'm really glad that this is who I am on national radio.
Well, Danny, I have given you a lot of credit. You are as good of a sports writer as I know, and I mean that sincerely. But then again, you got to represent your beer, right? You are who you
exactly.
are. I get it.
Got to be true to yourself. Authentic.
Have to be authentic. Have to be. He's a Yahoo Sports columnist. He is a best-selling author for the New York Times. He is the co-host of the Wetzel 240 podcast, and he is a Bush Light aficionado. Dan, great job. Always good to have you on. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
Great job. Well done. Sincerely, he is a great, great sports writer.